You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is Nicole Ackman's interview with the production designer for The Favourite, Fiona Crombie.
The Queen is an extraordinary person.
They were all staring, weren't they? I can tell even if I can't see, and I heard the word fat, fat, and ugly.
No one but me would dare, and I did not.
She's been stalked by tragedy.
Everyone leaves me and dies.
I apologize for my appearance. I hoped I might be employed here by you as something.
A monster for the children to play with, perhaps.
It is important to make new friends in court, is it not?
You're so beautiful.
Stop it, you mock me.
If I were a man, I would ravish you.
You have become close to Abigail.
She is a viper. You're jealous.
You must send Abigail away.
I do not want to.
Let's shoot something.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Next Best Picture podcast. This is Nicole Ackman, and I'm joined today by Fiona Crombie, the production designer of Yorgos Lanthimos' gorgeous and unconventional period drama, The Favourite. Fiona, thank you so much for coming on. Here at Next Best Picture, we are all so impressed by the production design of The Favourite.
Aw, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. And of course, no disrespect to the cast and the writers, and of course, Yorgos Lanthimos, but I do feel like the design is really one of the stars of this movie, and it's really getting a lot of attention in this awards race thus far. So what does it feel like to be, you know, a major Oscar contender in the production design category?
You know what? It's quite strange because when you're making the films, you don't think about this stuff, you know, so it's sort of, you know, and I always look forward to my films coming out because I'm always fascinated to see how they're finished, you know, how it all comes together. And so what's been amazing is just being part of a film that's really reaching people and that people are enjoying. I mean, that's the thing that's kind of most satisfying for me is, you know, I get lots of messages and people are having a great time at the cinema. And, you know, I mean, that's unique. I haven't had this happen before, so it's kind of great.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And so I know that you did most of the filming on location at Hatfield House. Can you tell me a bit of the, you know, what the decision to go with that was?
You know, there were a couple of key decisions, you know, key factors in that decision. And in fact, that was a very early decision. And to some extent, I mean, the viability of making the film sort of hinged on finding a location that was available when we needed it to be available, that were open to us coming in and, you know, modifying and doing the things that we needed to do, given that it's an incredibly important, you know, heritage building in this country. And so we were there for quite a long time. And I mean, you know, like blocking out a location like that for a length of time, you know, can be quite tricky. So there are lots of things that sort of fortunately came together. But I mean, it was, from memory, it was one of the first decisions that was made when the project, you know, the final dates for the go-ahead happened. So I think, you know, we would have struggled. I mean, a big factor with Hatfield was the fact that they allow candles. And there are many locations in the United Kingdom that are absolutely exquisite, but that you cannot have an open flame. You can't have a candle burning. And, you know, I'm sure you know, but our entire film was lit with candlelight or natural light. So that would have been an enormous compromise for Yorgos if we hadn't been able to find a location that allowed for that. So, you know, so there are a few key things that sort of led us to Hatfield, and then and so it all just sort of came together, really.
Oh, that's awesome. So I know when a film is shot on location, there's kind of sometimes confusion about what a production designer ends up actually doing. So can you tell us what you had to do to ready Hatfield House to be set to film with there?
Well, the thing with Hatfield is that there's no denying it's an incredibly beautiful building. And the thing that's amazing about it as well is it's very well preserved. So, I mean, in a way you could go in and shoot a film there. But Hatfield as it is today doesn't fit our story. So what we had to do was, the first thing we did was basically empty it. So we had to, which was a really complicated task because they just have unbelievable, endlessly priceless things there. So there was a lot of negotiation about, art handlers, and, the house were incredibly supportive. So the first thing we did was pull, everything that we could out. And there were, there's like in the Great Hall, there's a table that is, it's like 400 years old or something. So there was we were not moving that. I mean, they did let us shuffle it in this room, but there was absolutely, you actually couldn't get it out. I think it was built in that room. So there are a few things like that that just had to stay. And from there we brought in our own, pretty much everything. We had some of the tapestries that were there, and they were absolutely an inspiration for us to sort of add in and really go for the tapestries. But all the furniture was ours, and, so we did all that sort of stuff. But we also did construction in pretty much every space. The only space we didn't do construction in was the gold corridor. Every other room had, elements built within it to help tell our story. I mean, the obvious example is the secret passage doesn't exist. So we had to build wall panels and secret doors and then create that passageway. And so that, so every room was modified to tell the story and to bring it into the sort of overall aesthetic that we were going for in the film.
Right. And I guess also Hatfield House has been used in so many different movies and TV series, even recent things like Paddington and The Crown. So you have to kind of make sure that it's distinctive from its use in all of those.
Well, the thing is, we sort of didn't really think about that stuff. I mean, what of course happened was the minute that we started working there was then we became obsessed with seeing it everywhere, and so Yorgos would come to work and be like, oh, I saw it in something or other. And, to be really fair, that's what, I sometimes watch films and I see beds that I've hired, for films. So there's like this, we recycle things, and that's because there's a certain amount of, objects, and there's a certain amount of locations that can work. And also to be all, blunt about it, we're a low budget film. And it's been interesting because I've been asked by people, oh, did you build the Queen's bedroom? And it's like, no. I mean, I had £1.3 million to do the entire film. So I couldn't even, I maybe have pulled off that room with that money if I didn't have to do anything else, So it's sort of the best thing we could do was work out what our existing assets were and then embellish them and play with them. And so what we were able to do with Hatfield was like lift, a lot of inspiration from, oh, this has got amazing tapestries. Let's add into the tapestries and make the whole room like that. Or look at this great joinery. Let's make the secret corridor the same sort of joinery, So just trying to, in a way, be invisible. And so you can't really tell where our work began and ended, and that's, I think, a good, it's an economic decision as much as it is a creative decision.
Right. And I guess speaking of creative decisions, though, obviously Queen Anne lived in many different palaces, Kensington, Whitehall, St. James, Hampton Court, but was there one in particular that you were drawing inspiration from, or were you trying to make it seem kind of like, a combination of different palaces?
Well, really, from an exterior point of view, we were looking at St. James, mm-hmm. and Hatfield House in reality is much smaller than the exterior appears. I mean, there's a lot of set extension with the exteriors. And so just in terms, so what we did was we sort of amalgamated some of Hampton Court's architecture, and we added it obviously into Hatfield, but then looked at St. James, and we looked at, so that was really probably the main one. From an interior point of view, no, we didn't really use anything as a springboard, mainly because the architecture was just, or sort of like room layout, like technically doesn't really work for our story. So if you go to like a Hampton Court, the way that the rooms work, they're actually more public. So privacy tended to be just within a bed itself. Like, so a lot of the spaces were really quite public, or there were sort of some private chambers, but it was just a bit more. Tony had written a lot of corridor, like a lot of walking in corridor. And when we went to look for locations, we realized that that actually didn't really work. You know, there's not a lot of corridor, a lot of stairs. And so we needed to stitch together locations. So we did Hatfield, but we also did Hampton Court for corridors and kind of like fudge it basically, because the story and the way that he's, the momentum that's within the movement in the story is so much more important than being architecturally accurate in our film.
Of course. And I do also have to ask about those kitchens, which are just enormous. Was that another place that you filmed?
That was Hampton Court. And they are unbelievable, okay. Those kitchens.
I thought I recognized them because I've been to Hampton Court and I was like, that looks real.
Yeah. And so they were very supportive. There were very strict rules about what we could do there. So again, we did construction. We built the sink area, we built storage areas, and we added in all our dressings. And they were very strict about you couldn't touch the walls. There's nothing could go on the floor. You know, that was very, very controlled. And the strangest thing about that working there was it was open to the public. So they would rope us off. And not when we were shooting. I mean, when we were shooting, it was open to the public as well. But when we were dressing, I think we're probably all in quite a lot of tourist photos because people were just snapping away as we were dressing. I don't think they ever close. I mean, they may be closed, you know, 2 days a year or something.
Wow. And another thing I wanted to ask about is the costumes also feel very kind of in sync with the sets and the exteriors even. So did you coordinate at all with the costume designer, Sandy Powell?
Yeah, well, we met up, you know, very early on and had, we sort of met several times as it progressed, and Sandy was, you know, working her way through things and we were geographically separated across the other side of London because she was in a studio and I was in a different studio. And so that was kind of tricky. So there was no bumping into each other in corridors, but we had a number of meetings and we would just offer up, you know, this is what I'm thinking. The key thing for me with Sandy was just knowing that she was going to have a very controlled palette. And then that led me to make the decision with my set decorator that we also needed to have a very controlled palette. Otherwise we ran the risk of feeling like we're in quite separate films. So we went down the path of only having, you know, gold textiles and being, you know, like having the dark wood furniture and the gold textiles, and in the same way that Sandy had the black and white, you know, with a little bit of blue and red, and then she had the denim. So, you know, her stuff was very, very controlled, and we did the same, so that it all felt like it, you know, it had a language that was overarching.
And I also just want to know, do you have a favorite, you know, room that was done for the film, or a favorite piece even?
Oh, look, I'm kind of fond of a number of things. I mean, I absolutely was crazy about Anne's bed, and I just wish I had a little lie down in it, but I didn't. We were always too busy, and we had that handmade, and it was hand carved and hand painted, and it was just really lovingly made, and you know, it was very beautifully done with lots of lovely textiles. And then, so I'm fond of that as a piece. I really loved Abigail's bedroom, which we built in an empty room under the stairs at Hatfield House. And I just was so fond of it because I loved the play on scale. You know, I loved the idea that you come from these vast spaces upstairs and you literally walk down the stairs and you come into this little room, which is a little bit like a doll's room. You know, it was all kind of, we scaled it down so that, you know, it felt like a little, you know, like a little tiny kind of private box or something. And so I'm fond of that room. And then the other one that I'm proud of for different reasons is the spa, because the spa, you know, like I said, we struggled for money. We struggled to kind of offer up a film that believably, you know, was about a queen's life, you know, that had a level of luxury. And so that was a real struggle to pull that set off. That was a build in a place called Danson House. And it was a stone Victorian kitchen that we had to marble, and, you know, we built that space. And it was such a struggle, and I'm so glad we did it because I love that beat in the story. So, you know, yeah. So they're my three things that I think of.
Amazing. All right. And finally, are there, you know, do you have any ideas about what you're going to do next, if you're allowed to say? Do you want to do more period drama? Are you looking to do something a bit different after this, maybe?
Well, I don't have a project coming up. I'm, you know, just having a bit of a break, but I would really like to do something contemporary. I've sort of accidentally wound up doing quite a lot of things about royalty. So my last film was The King. And I think that maybe it's because I, coming from Australia, we don't get to make these kinds of films, you know, very easily there. And so I've really relished the opportunity to work on these sorts of period films. But I do really love character films, and I really loved, you know, I mean, I started off doing contemporary and, you know, films. So I would love to kind of have head back in that direction. I'd love to do sci-fi. You know, I mean, the thing is, I always want to sort of shake it up. I don't want to just do one thing. So, you know, I'm always open to anything.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with us today. And as a team, we all wish you the best of luck with this upcoming awards season.
Thank you so much.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to Nicole's interview with Fiona Crombie, the production designer for The Favorite, which is currently playing in theaters right now. You can subscribe to the Next Best Picture podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, Acast, CastBox, and newly on Spotify. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts to let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate your feedback and your support. So if you head on over to Patreon for $1 minimum a month, you can also get some exclusive podcast content from us. Thank you so much for listening. Once again, as always, we shall see you all next time.